This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way. Spilled Milk is brought to you by Kurgo, all the stuff you need to go where you want to go with your dog. Go to kurgostore.com/milk to get 30% off dog harnesses, collars, boots, coats, leashes, and car seat covers today. That's kurgostore.com/milk. I'm Matthew.
I'm Molly.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
Today, we are talking about everyone's favorite Thanksgiving vegetable, even though it doesn't really grow anywhere at Thanksgiving time.
Oh, let me guess. Squash.
No.
I can't think of any other vegetables.
Green beans!
Yay! And I've just taken out of the oven a classic American French's onion Campbell's soup green bean casserole.
I am so excited because I have never tasted this.
I have never tasted it either. I've avoided it at many social gatherings.
I think we are the last two, like, American-born adults to have never tasted this.
I think this maybe says more about our level of snobbery than any of the other terrible things that we've said on the show.
Absolutely. Yes. I totally blame my parents for this.
And by the way, so this is our Thanksgiving episode. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving.
I want to, like, let's look behind the curtain for a moment, because, like, I don't know if you know this, like, at, like, the big food magazines, when they do the Thanksgiving issue, they're working on that, like, you know, March.
Yes, exactly. You are. I should emphasize for the listener that you are not exaggerating.
No. I'm not exaggerating at all. They literally will be, like, roasting turkeys in March.
Yep.
So it is not March, but it is, however, October, and we are recording today at 8:15 a.m.
Ah, the things that we will do to get around childcare.
Right. So this is brunch. Can we call it? I don't want to call it breakfast.
We're having green bean casserole for breakfast.
Yes.
Brunch.
So I've got that coolin' on the stove. But before we get to that, I wanted to. So I did not make a quiz of heirloom green bean names, but I did look some up, and, like, I found five that I really liked, and I'm just going to read them out.
I mean, are any of these, like, magnum bonum level?
Yes, absolutely.
Yay.
Yes.
Okay,
see,
I'm ready.
See, I didn't find that many, but the ones I found were so good, I felt like I couldn't come up with any fake ones that would really, that wouldn't stick out, obviously.
Okay.
And speaking of sticking out, obviously, so this is what I came up with. I'm going to save the best one for last. Greasy grits.
Are you serious?
These are all real.
No,
you don't have to guess. They're all real.
Greasy grits. Okay.
Tongues of fire.
Oh, I know that one.
Okay.
It's probably like a dragon.
It is,
dragon's
yeah.
tongue.
Beurre de Roquencourt bushwax bean.
Oh, wow. That's very francese.
Yeah. Kentucky Wonderpole. And finally, you're again going to be sure I'm making this up, but I am not. Riggins stick pole.
Wait, is that Riggins? Like
Riggins.
Tim Riggins?
It is spelled precisely at like
Riggins
Tim Riggins.
Stick pole.
So the thing that I learned.
It's like my dream.
I didn't know anything about, like, the growing habits of beans, but apparently there are two main kinds, pole beans and bush beans. So I mentioned this to my wife this morning, and she said, oh, do you think the growers ever get together for a convention? I said, let's just say yes, they do.
Oh, I really like your wife.
Oh, yeah, me too. So those are like the heirloom varieties. The green beans that you see like at the store, like in the produce section, are overwhelmingly the Blue Lake variety.
Mm-hmm. I remember a time a few years ago when I first learned of the Blue Lake variety, and I felt like people were advertising it at the farmer's market as being like this sort of exotic, super delicious type. But it turns out it's kind of the normal green bean.
Yeah,
is that
it's
right?
Kind of the normal green bean. I mean, I think it is a very alluring name.
It is Blue Lake. I mean, I want to go there for vacation.
And I think the normal green bean is really good.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think it's one of these things where, like, you know, I'm sure these heirloom varieties, particularly the rig and stick pull, are excellent. But but I'm very happy with the regular
the rig
green
and
beans.
Stick pull.
How many more times do you think we're going to say rig and stick pull before this episode
times.
Is over?
So many times. I was reading Rookie Yearbook 3 last night. Are you familiar with Rookie Mag?
Yeah, Tavi
Gevinson. Yeah. Anyway, there was an interview with Kim Gordon from Sonic Youth in there, and she talked about the fact that she's a Tim Riggins fan.
Oh, that's awesome.
I bet that her favorite green bean would be the Riggins stick pole.
I guarantee,
did I get that
yes.
right? Riggins stick pole?
I believe that was it, yes. It seems impossible that could be it, but I was going to say I'll show you the website, but I would probably try to find it by Googling Riggins stick pole, and that might not turn out the way I intended.
No. Let's talk about the other common kind of green bean, because this is the kind of green bean that you know, like, shows up on fancy catering menus everywhere.
Oh, sure.
And I don't always think it's that tasty. And
yeah.
That is the haricot vert, or the like skinny French green bean.
Yeah, and I feel like it can often be tough, and it doesn't always have a lot of flavor.
Well, my feeling is that actually I think they're quite tender. I think that in general, if I'm at the farmer's market or something and they've got haricot vert, don't you just love how snobby I am about saying that? And Blue Lake beans, I feel like I'm going to for sure get a more satisfying bean texture from the skinny ones. However, I think they kind of always, whether you cook them just a little bit or a lot, they always have kind of this dark green kind of taste. Kind of not my favorite green bean flavor.
Yeah, see, I feel like my favorite green bean flavor is like a kind of a fatter green bean that's been cooked for a while. Well, we'll talk about some other cooking methods.
Oh, man, we need to get into this long cooking versus short cooking.
Oh, definitely.
Wow, I feel like
it's on the agenda.
Ooh, wow, there's like a lot of material here.
Oh, yeah, like a whole book.
Like definitely at least 15 seconds worth.
I think I might be sort of serious about this, but like, I feel like it might be an interesting book, or at least like long article of like, you know, to like walk through a few different vegetables and like, you know, concentrate on recipes for like the super short cooked or raw versus like the cooked to death but awesomely tender and delicious version.
So on the one hand, this reminds me of John McPhee's Oranges. Have you read that book?
Of course, yeah.
Okay. We've talked about it a whole mm-hmm. bunch. And then on the other hand, it kind of reminds me of like some of those Jane Grigson books.
Yeah.
Maybe this is your niche, Matthew.
I feel like James Peterson, the cookbook author, could do a really good job with this.
Yes.
All right. Should we, when are we going to pull out this casserole?
Right now.
Okay, I'm getting hungry.
Now.
All right, I'm going to go grab the casserole.
Okay. Wow, Matthew, this is kind of a scant serving. I think that you're thinking we're not going to like this.
I just want to dip a toe into it. So, if you get like a special flavor from it, it's because I dipped my toe into it. Chef's secret.
So let's talk about whose recipe you followed.
Okay, I followed the recipe from the Campbell's Soup website, which was clearly like slightly modernized in the sense that, okay, so it called for, oh, you're eating it. It called for.
Oh, you sound surprised.
Canned green beans.
I'm not just sticking my toe in it.
That's how we eat things on my planet. It called for canned green beans, but also optionally frozen green beans or cooked fresh green beans.
Oh, that's no.
And it called for a teaspoon of soy sauce. Other than that, it's just cream of mushroom soup, milk, black pepper, canned green beans, and French's fried onions.
Okay, so you used canned green beans. I can taste the canned green bean.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of delicious. At the beginning, you just kind of get this like salty creaminess that I'm guessing is the cream of mushroom mm-hmm. soup. The texture is a little uniform. I wish that there were more French fried onions.
Mm.
I would eat this for breakfast.
You can go pick some more onions off the top of the casserole if you want.
Mm. It's so ugly. This is like real nursing home food.
Well, it's like, you know, it's a dish from the, you know, the era of like Gallery of Regrettable Food where like nobody cared if food looked good, which is, you know, I feel like that was kind of liberating in a way, probably.
Mm-hmm. I agree. This is delicious.
Yeah, it's good.
I mean, if you like green beans, which I do, I think that this is not the best way to showcase them. But as Matthew's like slogan on some social media account used to say, yeah, I'd eat that.
I probably still says that somewhere. Mm-hmm. I think maybe it is the best way to showcase canned green beans.
Yes. How can we describe the taste of canned green beans? They don't taste like fresh green beans in any way.
No, I mean, they're very soft and they have, yeah, I mean, there's that particular canned
green bean
flavor.
Taste.
It's, you know, they're cooked with quite a bit of salt.
I would describe the flavor as a color. I would describe the flavor as olive green.
Yeah, I see what you mean there.
You see what I mean? One thing I do love about canned green beans is the way that the two halves of the bean
slide apart.
Kind of slide apart. I love that. You know, when I was in college... What? Are you surprised that I have a college education?
No, I'm just hoping the story is going to involve like a French kissing slumber party.
Oh, I like. Wish. God, no. When I was in college, I would go to the dining hall, and very often there were green beans, and they were always, I'm guessing, canned. Maybe they were frozen, but they really had that canned flavor, and I would get a giant heap of them, because even though I love fresh green beans, I kind of also love that canned green bean flavor, and I would just revel in this giant pile of sort of just meltingly falling apart olive green beans.
I feel like I need to maybe explore the world of canned green beans in a way that I haven't ever. Because
I don't know that that's necessary, and I even say that as someone who likes them.
Well, because I love fresh green beans, and I cook them all the time. I feel like because this recipe works so well, I feel like there are probably some other things that could, you know, like heavily, like drenched in sauce, heavily flavored recipes that, like you say, revel in the texture and flavor of the canned green bean that I think could be kind of fun.
Yeah, maybe so.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that this, you know... Like the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup and the Cool Ranch Dorito, I think this is a very well-engineered food product.
So what you're saying is you think America should put this dish on their Thanksgiving table?
Maybe.
Because they're going to, no matter what you say.
Yeah,
you're
no,
not
I mean,
stop
I'm just
them.
Trying to think of like whether I would add it to my Thanksgiving table.
Spilled Milk is brought to you by Kurgo.
Kurgo is the company that makes all kinds of stuff that you need to go the places you want to go with your dog.
Kurgo was started by two brothers who like to hike, like to do outdoorsy stuff, and like to bring their dogs with them when they do, and found that the dog equipment on the market was not sufficiently well-designed or safe for their dogs and their trips.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I don't know about you, but and maybe I shouldn't admit this, but I have actually found myself driving on the highway with a rat terrier perched on my shoulder, and that's just not good for anybody. So along comes a company like Kurgo, who makes beautifully designed barriers and various car-specific harnesses to help you and your pet travel in safety.
Yeah, so their first product was a backseat barrier that keeps your dog safely in the backseat and not, like, jumping over into your lap and trying to drive the car while you're driving, happens to Molly.
They are one of the first manufacturers to produce crash-tested dog harnesses.
Do you think they have...
That is legit.
Do you think they have a crash test facility with little crash test doggies?
I hope so.
They have a dog basket for the front of your bike.
So cute.
You know, they have harnesses, they have collars, they have boots, they have reflective leashes. They have car seat covers to protect your car seat from things that dogs do in cars.
And this isn't one of those shops that sells like 10 million products for your pets. This is a very small, curated, beautifully designed collection of stuff that is made by pet owners for pet owners.
They stand by their stuff 100%. It's a lifetime warranty on everything. If it breaks due to a manufacturing defect, they repair or replace it free of charge.
Woohoo!
So go to kurgostore.com/milk. That's KURGO store.com/milk. And you will get 30% off your order total.
Wow. Thanks, Kurgo. Why do we eat green beans at Thanksgiving? Like, pretty much the only place they're growing in the U.S. is probably, like, Southern California.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, it's probably... I think I'm not a food historian, as you know. But I wonder how far it goes back. Like, I know that, the Thanksgiving, the American Thanksgiving meal is like a really ripe area for food history, because probably a lot of what we think we know about it is completely wrong.
Let me tell you, any leftovers from then are very ripe as well.
From the original American Thanksgiving? Yeah.
Sorry. Sorry. We'll cut that. Cut it. Yeah. Cut it.
And do we mention it's it's 8:30. Yeah, so
we should really be on top of our game by now, but we're not.
But yeah, so I don't know when the green beans came in. I mean, I was going to hypothesize that green beans at the Thanksgiving table have kind of always been canned green beans, and it dates back to the early days of canning. But I don't know. I'm making that up.
I think that makes good sense because, I mean, you know, Lord knows, like all along the old Eastern Seaboard where the Pilgrims were, there were not green beans growing at, you know, in late November.
Right.
Maybe they had Thanksgiving in summertime, and we just moved it because that was inconvenient.
Why would that be inconvenient?
Well, because we're all off, you know, like swimming and vacationing.
Too busy swimming, can't roast a turkey. Yeah, we all know that feeling. So, I mean, but what you said, like, points out that they're like green beans change throughout the year. They're not exactly. Yes.
Scintillating conversation.
The green beans you buy in summertime are not the same as the fresh green beans that you buy in winter.
Right.
The canned green beans are the same all year round.
This is also why I don't tend to eat green beans on Thanksgiving.
Now, this is where we disagree.
So you would use green beans even if they're kind of shitty.
I think the kind of shitty green beans can be great.
That's because you cook them for a long time.
Right.
Okay. See, I like green beans that are cooked until they turn sort of a bright green and they're still a little squeaky between your teeth. I like the squeak, like a cheese curd squeak.
Yeah, I like that with a fresh, you know, a beautiful fresh summer green bean. You know, what's better than that? But if I have
I can think of so many things that are better than that.
No, that's the best thing. Don't say rig and stick fall. But if I have some, you know, thick, kind of overgrown, leathery winter green beans, those are not beyond salvation.
You going to do like a long, slow cooking with some olive oil and...
But that got kind of sultry, like Kathleen Turner there. So yes, whatever you just said, that's what I'm going to do.
It's my morning voice.
Wow. Here's an example of what I would do with those green beans. It's from a Mark Bittman New York Times column from years ago. You cook like a couple of duck legs and braise them with green beans.
Oh my God, are you kidding?
What?
I love how you just throw around, you cook a couple duck legs like anybody just cooks a couple duck legs.
Well, I mean, you take a couple of duck legs and you throw them in with a bunch of green beans. It's an incredibly simple recipe.
I don't think I've ever cooked duck legs
in
my life.
Are you kidding me?
We're
going to do a duck leg episode because they are the greatest.
Really?
Yes.
I feel like, to me, it still seems like sort of snobbery, esoteric food.
But if you can, I mean, yes, it is, but if you can get them, you know, they're not hard to cook.
Who's the one who's obsessed with France here, Matthew?
Apparently it's me. Anyway, do I get to describe this dish or not?
Yes, go on.
Because you put a couple of duck legs in with some overgrown green beans and some fish sauce and shallots and chilies, and just kind of cook the hell out of it for 2 hours until everything is super tender and the green beans have turned gray and you know, are soft all the way through, and the duck legs are perfectly braised and like some of the duck fat is melted off in with the green beans.
Ooh, and
like,
you've got fish sauce in there and
yes,
chilies too.
Right. It's a great dish, and it would, you know, if you used beautiful fresh summer green beans, it would be worse because they would just kind of fall apart and you'd be wasting them.
I think that we should do a duck leg episode.
Okay.
And you should make this dish for me.
I will do that.
Great. And I will eat my hat.
This burp casserole is really making me burp. Is it the fried onions? Is it just that we're eating casserole in the morning?
We're eating casserole.
I think it could
at 8:30 in the morning.
Yeah. For our next episode, which we're recording right after this, we're going to be eating a baked potato. This is a strange morning. So back to the green bean casserole. So on the Campbell's website, so the only real difference between that and the recipe on like the French's fried onion can is that the Campbell's one calls for a little soy sauce for umami, I guess.
I think that's smart.
Yeah, it doesn't taste like soy sauce. But they also have like variations on the recipe, including one that I was like, wow, this sounds really good, which is green bean casserole with pancetta and rosemary.
Oh, that does sound good. Yeah.
So, but still with cream of mushroom soup, of course.
Oh, huh.
And there's also a golden variation with Campbell's golden mushroom soup, which I had never heard of, and I don't know what makes it golden. Lori said, well, it could be chanterelles.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm not the snobbiest eater in my family.
Okay. Hey, so where do you stand on Romano beans? Are these green beans? Are Romano beans green beans?
I think absolutely, yeah. So, I just got a squeaky one. Romano beans are like the flat ones.
Yeah.
They look like green beans that have been run over by a steamroller.
Yes, and I love them. They're so meaty.
Yeah.
The texture is wonderful.
Yeah, I think those are really great. I wonder if they are made with a steamroller. I don't know anything about farming.
They are not made with a steamroller.
So my favorite way to do them comes, surprise, surprise, from Fuchsia Dunlop's Every Grain of Rice, which is stir-fried with fermented black beans and chilies.
Sounds great.
It's really great.
My favorite way to do them involves just simply blanching them in salted water and then dressing them with olive oil and lemon and salt.
Beautiful. Yeah, I wonder if there are a few of those still in season. I don't know.
Mm-mm.
No.
Mm-mm.
Fooey. Next summer.
Well, I feel like we should get to the final topic of the show today, which is written on here by Matthew in italics.
That was actually written on there by Abby in italics.
Oh, never mind. We don't have to talk about it then. No. No. Niçoise salad. Do you ever eat niçoise salad?
I have, but I don't remember the last time I did. So that's the salad with tuna.
Mm-hmm. Usually potato, olive, green beans, sometimes some anchovy fillets, tomato. It's like a composed salad.
Yeah, it is. It's like the side of Mediterranean food that I kind of shy away from.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Huh. Okay, I think it's kind of perfect lunch food, the niçoise salad. Not that I have eaten one in the last 5 years. But anyway, perfect lunch
food. Was it like a popular thing in the 90s, 80s?
Yeah, I think so. You know, it's...
Well, we're bringing it back.
Yeah.
I've prepared one, right? No, I haven't.
Okay.
One other thing that we just skipped right over. Have you ever roasted green beans?
I have eaten roasted green beans, but I have not roasted them myself.
So I came across this recipe. I wish I could remember the cookbook because the recipe kind of blew my mind, and I don't remember. It was like a roasted vegetable cookbook, maybe?
That Barbara Kafka?
It was not Barbara Kafka. It was... I'm not going to remember
Molly
it.
Stevens.
It was not one of your like top echelon food writers, which makes it sound like I'm picking on the author of this book.
Oh,
but like,
my God,
I'm not one of your top echelon food writers. I'm not in like the top four echelons. I don't even know what an echelon is. Anyway, the recipe is you toss the green beans with some oil, salt them, and stick them in like a 500 degree oven for 10 minutes. And they get kind of crispy and like almost blackened, and you eat them like fries. And it's a really great recipe that obviously could not be simpler.
Yeah, that sounds terrific.
And I've made green beans that way many times and always very satisfying.
You know what I think we have to mention before the show ends here is the dry fried green beans.
Oh, of course.
Yes.
Yeah, we haven't talked much about Chinese style green beans at all.
So dry fried green beans. Can you tell me what's going on there? They're actually like, aren't they like deep fried?
Almost always deep fried, yeah. So this is like, I'm going to get into like technical stir frying stuff. This is going to be real fun. Actually, this is a pretty common stir frying technique, which is that you put enough oil in the wok to lightly deep fry the ingredients, then drain it off, and then stir fry them. And that's what you do with these dry fried green beans. So they get, you know, they get kind of wrinkly and get this meaty texture.
Oh my gosh, I love it.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, they get incredibly like dense and silky.
Yeah, sometimes with a little bit of ground pork, sometimes not.
Just garlic.
We had this dish together, like one of the, possibly the first time you and I ever had a meal together.
Really?
Do you remember this? In Vancouver, BC.
Yes.
Were you on your honeymoon?
I was on my honeymoon.
Yeah, Matthew, you were on your honeymoon.
Matthew crashed my honeymoon.
So we're not married, but apparently we were on Molly's honeymoon together.
We had Dan Dan noodles.
Yeah, we had.
Your parents
parents were there.
My parents were there too. Wow, this is super kinky.
Hot.
It was spicy hot because we were at a Szechuanese restaurant in Vancouver, and we had dan dan noodles.
Right by that place with all the gelato.
Oh, right, that Casa Gelato.
Yeah.
Oh, fond memories. When was this? I mean,
this would have been in 2007.
Awesome. And so we had the dry fried green beans and the dan dan noodles. Good times.
Oh, such good times. Okay,
all right, let's wrap this up.
God, we have done green beans here.
Yeah, I don't know. For starting at 8:15 a.m., I give this episode like a 6.5.
We stuck the landing.
With like Riggins stuck pole. You can find us online at spilledmilkpodcast.com, where we will post, we'll definitely link to the recipe for green bean casserole. You already know this recipe. Probably you know it by heart.
I bet we could also find like that fuchsia Dunlop recipe that you mentioned somewhere
online.
Yeah,
the stir-fried Romano beans.
Yeah,
maybe. I'm sure we can post a link to a good recipe for dry-fried string beans.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe post some proof that I didn't make up those green bean, heirloom green bean names.
Oh, hey, you know, we never talked about the different, like you just said dry fried string beans as opposed to green beans.
That's the same thing, right?
Yeah. A string bean is such a, in many ways, I think of it as like a sort of Southern American term.
Do you remember in, maybe Bread and Jam for Frances, but definitely one of the Frances books that she says, why are French cut stringless beans called string beans? I did not understand.
No, I haven't gotten to that part.
Oh, I haven't. I never understood what that meant as a kid.
I do not doubt it.
one of those things grown-ups talk about.
You don't even understand what echelon means.
No. There's a lot in this world I don't understand.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's move right along.
And don't care enough to find out.
You can also find us on Facebook at...
What's that URL?
Facebook.com/spilledmilkpodcast.
That's it.
Yes, I got it.
And you can leave us a review on iTunes. And until next time, thank you for listening to Spilled Milk, the show that speaks to you with tongues of fire.
I'm Molly Weisenberg.
That was a very scary noise. I don't want to hear that again. And I'm Matthew Amster Burton. I'm Matthew.
Hold on, I was breathing.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.